All right, Jamosai. Good evening, good evening. Let's get started. So we left off. Today, we are on the bottom of Lamed Dalet Omid Beis 34b, and we left off Shuv Maisa, which is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the page. End of the parak. So the Gemara says as follows. Veshuv Maisa Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. There was... I see. Interesting. Are you parched? You're parched. Okay. So there was another story. With Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And what was it? What's the remember again? So just to give our context over here, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So by the way, excellent. So, I mean, we'll see what. Come on. It's perfect. Seriously. So remember again, we saw the Mishnah Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was the one who, when he davened, he was able to see if his tefillah was going to be accepted by how the tefillah rolled off his tongue, right? If it came out easily and it came out without any effort, then that was indicative that the tefillah was niskabel. If, on the other hand, it came out like a little bit more garbled or a little bit more difficult, that was an indicative that it wasn't niskabel. So another story of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Incredible. Shahalach l'ilmot Torah it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa ultimately went to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So first of all, just you have to appreciate a little bit. Can you imagine being in a Beis Medrash where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa are both there? Like, it's a pretty incredible thing. You have to understand something, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the Rabbi, and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is the Talmud. But now understand, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the Gemara says that the entire world was sustained because of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa himself subsisted on very little. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa went to learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Gemara says, what happened? V'chala benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son became ill. So what happened? Amrlo Chanina bini. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Chanina, my son, bakish alav rachamim v'yichya. Please ask daven for my son that he should live. So Niach Rosha bin Birkov. So literally again, so Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa placed his head by his knees. So literally again, that sounds like assuming like the fetal position. But what it means is he bowed, he humbled himself. The Gemara says, Ubikesh Alav Rachamim, and he davened for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's son, Bechaya. And sure enough, the son was healed. So the Gemara says, this is actually a really incredible story. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, il mole hitiach ben Zakkai es rosha ben Birkov kol yom kulo, lo hayo mashgichem alav. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, you know what, I could put my head between my knees the whole day. In other words, I could be bowing in prayer the entire day, and I would not be able to affect change. I would not be able to affect these same realities. Lo hayo mashgichem alav means they wouldn't pay any attention to me. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was extolling the power of tefillah of his Talmid Rabbi. So even before we go on in the story, I just want to point out how incredible this is and what a dramatic display of humility this is. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is the Rebbe. He's the Rebbe. And yet, again, he understands that his Talmud has more power than him in a particular area and is not ashamed to ask for help from his Talmud, which is really such an incredible and beautiful and overwhelming idea. Just, that's humility. Humility, again, the Rebbe, the teacher, is not expected to know everything, right? So the Rebbe has strengths, the Talmud has strengths, and someone who's truly humble is able to ask for help. Someone who's truly humble is able to see the strengths in others, and he doesn't take that as a lack of his own strength. It's such an incredible Gemara. All right, let's go weiter. Amar lo ishto. This is actually incredible. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's wife said to him, V'chi chanina gadol mimcha? Is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa greater than you? So this is fascinating. So Mrs. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was very surprised. She's very surprised. She's like to her husband, I don't understand. You're the Rabbi, he's the Talmud. So if that's the case, why are you asking him to daven on your behalf, right? Shouldn't you be able to go ahead and daven on your own? What's going on over here? So we'll say, Amr Allah is incredible. Love. No, the truth is, he's not greater than me. That is interesting. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I'm greater. Someone says, what's the pshat? Elohu domeke evelif ne'amelach, va'ani domeke salif ne'amelach. Here's the difference. He is like a servant in front of the king, and I am like a minister in front of the king. Now we'll say, what's the difference? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ke'eved ben bayis. I'm going to say in this context, Eved over here means not necessarily just a servant, but a ben bayis. You know, I'll say, if you think about it for just a moment, it's interesting, right? So you could have, the king has a court, right? And in the court, he has servants and he has ministers. So you ask, who's more important? So on one hand, you say, of course, the ministers are more important because they're ministers. On the other hand, what's interesting is as follows. The ministers don't have unfettered access to the king. Right? The minister can't just go and come as he pleases. Rather, he needs an appointment. He needs to go in. The servants, on the other hand, right? The household staff, as much as they don't have stature, but fascinatingly enough, they have access. They have access. Well, say, isn't that incredible? That sometimes, even if a person has an elevated status, that status is attests to your personal greatness. But at the end of the day, personal greatness doesn't necessarily translate into access. So Yochanan ben Zakkai says to his wife, I'm greater, whatever greater means, I'm greater than Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is like a servant. He goes in and out from in front of the Ribono Shel Olam whenever he wants. Me, I'm a minister. So I'm Choshev, but I don't have the same access. So Shabbos say, it's something so interesting. So you see from here, it's almost like there's two different levels. There's two different levels. That when a person could be the minister, a person could be the servant. So what's interesting, and the Gemara doesn't tell us this, I don't know the answer to this, but like, the Shaila is like, what was the character trait? Like, what was the attribute that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had that made him into this Eved Hashem? By the way, now you also begin to appreciate that appellation. When people are called an Eved Hashem, when someone is called an Eved Hashem, what does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? I mean, isn't everybody a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But now you understand, an Eved Hashem is someone who has humbled himself to the degree that he's able just to go back and forth whenever. So Moshe, now it makes sense, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is an Eved Hashem. Why is Moshe called an Eved Hashem? Because Moshe Rabbeinu goes in and out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wants. He speaks to God whenever he wants. So there's this higher, so on one hand, as much as being a sar is more important than the Eved, but yet the Eved has the access that sometimes the sar does not. Really, I don't know, that there's definitely like a lot to unpack in that Gemara. Okay, but we'll go by it for now. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. What is this beautiful Gemara? Al yispalo adam ele babay sheish sham chalonos. A person should only daven in a home where there are windows. Bayis means, I shouldn't say in a home, in a place. Right, wherever you daven, there should be windows. Shene'emar v'chivein pisichon le ba'alise l'kabel neged Yerushalayim. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Quotes the Pasuk from Daniel, right? Speaking about the idea that Daniel davened with windows facing Yerushalayim. Now what's the pshat? What's the pshat with the windows? So this is beautiful. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, chalonos shegarmen lo shiachavin libo shumistakal klape shmai v'libo nichna. So this is so beautiful. The idea is that you should be able to look at the sky when you daven. How beautiful is this? Why? Because when you look at the sky and you see the vastness of the sky, by definition, that engenders a sense of humility. And humility is the most necessary emotion for a meaningful davening experience, which makes sense. Because if I'm arrogant, then I don't need God. If I don't need God, then tefillah is meaningless. Conversely, if I'm humble, I recognize how much I need the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then tefillah becomes so much more impactful. So as it's constant also, being able, so it's interesting because on the other hand, you also have like competing Ma'amari Chazal that speak about the idea that a person shouldn't get distracted when davening either, about like not looking around when you daven. So it seems to be again this window piece, which is why again shuls have windows, right? Okay, so these windows aren't like the best one, but like in our new building, Emir Tzashem, so you'll see again on the front like turret-like structures, there are rows of windows across the top windows. And again, the idea being the ability to catch a glimpse of the heavens when you're davening gives you the ability to humble yourself and have a proper davening experience. Now, Gemara says, Amrav Kahana, Chotzif alai man demasli bebiksa. But it's chutzpah to daven in the valley. Also, I'll just point out how beautiful this is. Today in Daf Yomi, we also had Bika. We had the valley, right? Again, a socher as a chamar. Person rented a donkey to use it on the har, but instead he used it on the valley. Just incredible. Like when our two Talmudic worlds collide. So the Gemara says over here. So Rav Kahana said it's a chutzpah. It's a chutzpah if someone davens in the valley. Now what's the pshat? Look at Rashi. The Masri Biksa. The Bika kishkishu b'makom tznius. We'll say, here's the idea of the valley. Remember again, I mentioned this in Daf Yomi this morning also. Bika doesn't have to mean a valley like you classically think about it, like you're going down it suddenly. Rather, it just means like a wide open space. So if Kahana says, it is not good to daven in a wide open space because you just get easily distracted. It's too much stuff going on around you. It is better to daven in a smaller, constrained, enclosed area. This way, again, there's less to distract you. The Gemara says, Shene'emar, Ash, Rav Kahana said, it is a chutzpah for a person who publicly announces his sinful behavior. So we'll say, you know, when a person goes ahead and discusses his averas publicly, right? Ultimately, again, there's a chutzpah. What's the chutzpah? It's almost like it's an arrogance. Obviously, that means a person isn't ashamed of what it is that he did. And he has no problem publicizing that errant or negative behavior. Now, just to point out, obviously, again, there are certain chatayim that you have to divulge. In other words, if I wronged someone and I go and ask them for mechila, so part of the mechila process is articulating what it is that I did wrong to them and asking them for forgiveness. This is talking about someone who just generally publicizes his sinful behavior. So when you do that, obviously a person is lacking a certain element of busha. Right, there's an element of embarrassment that's lacking, and that's a chutzpah. Shene'emar, asri nisui pasha kisui chata'a. So I'll say, so ultimately, praiseworthy is the person whose sin is covered up. In other words, my averis are between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ashrei praiseworthy if my averis stay like that, and they don't become general public knowledge. I'll say, hajun alach in omdin, mazel tov, mazel tov. Inside, the Gemara says. Inside.
Many days on Halmaisa or just suggestions?
So the truth is, all of these are really Halach Halmaisa. Shulchan Aruch brings down about a Beis HaKnesset, about a shul having windows, right? The Shulchan Aruch brings down about davening in areas where you could be distracted. I don't know if the Shulchan Aruch specifically talks about like a valley, like a plain, but definitely, again, that one should try to avoid davening in places where you could get easily distracted. And again, the last one as well, that a person who goes there, this is the Rambam tells in Hilchos Tshuva, that a person who publicizes his averus, right, is a tremendous chutzpah. Tremendous chutzpah. So all four of these halachas are all the ma'isa. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Now we're getting a very new exciting parak. We're going to get into some great halachas. So we'll say this, a sixth parak of brachos, ketzel mevarchin, is all of the halachos of brachos, of birchos hananin. So here we go, let's go. Ketzel mevarchin al aperos. What bracha do you make on fruit? So aperos ha'ilan hu bor hu omer bori peri ha'etz. So on fruits that grow from the tree, you make a bracha of bori peri ha'etz. Okay, blessed are you, Hashem, who creates the fruit of the tree. Chutz min hayayin. Now, the exception, of course, is wine, because shalayayin omer brei pri agaven. Even though wine comes from grapes, which grow on the vine, which is like a tree, so therefore, again, even though on grapes itself, you're going to say a brei pri eitz, but at the end of the day, on wine, you do not say brei pri eitz. Now, Rashi points out to me. Rashi says shemitoch chashivuso kavulo bracha liatzmo. So we're going to see that again, because wine is chashuv, because wine is important, therefore Chazal gave wine its own bracha. And Rashi says, v'chena pas. The same applies to bread. So certain things which have just a heightened level of importance, that heightened level of importance is reflected in the fact that they receive their own bracha.
Is wine important other than that we make kiddush on it? Is that what makes it like, and besides halachas and nazir and whatever, but like, is wine important because that's what
we make it? So wine is inherently important because in Tanakh, wine is given, right? V'yayin yisamach levav enosh. So we're going to talk, the Gemara is going to talk about this. Like, what is it? Is it the fact that we use it for sacred things that makes it holy or makes it special? Or the fact that it's special, which is why we use it on sacred things. So that tension we're going to see in the Gemara. Baruch Shekivanta. So Gemara goes right there. So let's go. Vala peros haaretz. So what about the fruit of the earth? Hu omer brei pri adama. So we'll say, so again, things that grow from the ground. You say brei pri adama. Chutz min hapas. With the exception of bread. Sha'al hapas hu omer hamotzi lachem min ha'aretz. So we'll say, once again, with the exception of bread, because on bread you say hamotzi. On bread you say hamotzi. V'yala yirakos hu omer brei pri adama. And on vegetables, you say brei pri adama. Okay, Rabbi Huda omer borei mine deshoim. Rabbi Huda says, well, this is actually interesting. Rabbi Huda says, on vegetables you make the bracha of borei mine deshoim, literally means that Hashem has created different forms. Desha literally means like grass or vegetation. So what's interesting to note over here is he seems to indicate that halacha lemaisa, that halacha lemaisa, we make the bracha borei. So we're going to see exactly what this machlokes is in the Gemara about why Rabbi Huda is adding in over here disham. We'll talk about that. Says the Gemara. So we'll say, let's go weiter just for a few minutes that we have. Minahani mili. Gemara says, where do you know this from? No, supposed to say, where do I know what from? Where do I know this concept? Now remember, the Mishnah begins with the phrase Ketzan Mevarchim. Now Ketzan Mevarchim means, like, literally, how do we make the bracha? Right? Which essentially means, like, which bracha do we make on what? Which means what? That the Gemara, the Mishnah is presupposing that what? That we make brachas. That they make. So all the Gemara asks over here is Minahani Mili. By the way, from where do you know that we make brachas? Like, where did that piece of information come from? So the Gemara says, very simple, the Tanur Rabbanan, Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. The Pasuk says, literally again, Kodesh Hilulim, sanctified Hilulim. Now, Hilulim means Hallels. So Kodesh Hilulim, Hilulim is plural. So ultimately, again, there are multiple Hallels, multiple praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does this teach us? Malameid, Shetu'unim Bracha Lifneihem U'La'achareihem. So I will say, the two Hilulim teach me that I require a bracha before I eat, and a bracha after. Now, just to be clear, obviously the concept of brachas is d'rabanon. As we're going to talk, the only bracha that's d'oraisa is benching. Right? V'achalta, v'sabata, v'erachta. Other than that, all of these other brachas, bracha rishona, bracha achrona, bracha before you, bracha after you, all of this is d'rabanon. So when we're quoting this pasuk is an asmachta, right? This pasuk is, a lot of times when the rabbis have a din, they find the scriptural allusion for it. So that Kodesh Hilulim teaches me the bracha before and then after. Mikan Amr Rabbi Akiva, based on Rabbi Akiva said, Asra li adam shiyitom klum kodem shiyivarech. A person is not permitted to eat anything before they make a bracha. So therefore, again, this is the makar for this particular halacha. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, by the way, the Gemara just says, Vahai Kodesh Hilulim. I'll leave you with a cliffhanger. So the Gemara says, one second, Vahai Kodesh Hilulim Hachyudasa? Is that what that pasuk is used for? The Gemara says, Hai mi boile. Okay, I'm about to say, actually, we'll stop over here for tonight. We'll pick up Emiras Hashem with this piece next week. Shkoyach, everyone. Shkoyach. Everyone's invited to Chasidus in the base measures. Shkoyach to Shmuel for the delicious tea.